You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
To a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week, we have a very colorful top five for you. Steve, what is that top five?
Throwing up my red flag right now, Wes.
Ooh.
That means we're counting down the top five things when somebody says, ah, man, I just love blank. You immediately think, oh, no.
And this might be our most controversial top five to date.
Wow, and that is saying something.
That is.
Without any further ado, let's start the show. So Wes is feeling a little under the weather this week.
Well, you look under the weather.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Wes. It's always a pleasure to see your shining face, too, you butthole.
Steve, I don't know why you're so mad. I'm just saying that you look terrible. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misinterpreted it.
Okay. Apology accepted.
I thought you were saying something to the effect of, I look in poor condition, in poor health. But if I just look terrible in general, then by all means,
yes.
Have at me.
Well, will do, sir.
So that means shut it down. Went into movie mode for a couple of nights.
Cool.
Yeah.
What did you see?
I saw last year's Best Picture winner, which was Spotlight.
Nice. How was that?
Spotlight is very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good movie. I did not enjoy myself more than when I watched Mad Max last year, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I give Spotlight a very solid 87, 88.
Okay.
It's very good, but I also feel no need to watch that movie again.
And it's basically the same story as Mad Max, right?
Very, very similar. Mm-hmm. One's got Tom Hardy, the other one Michael Keaton, mm-hmm. same dudes.
Sure, know. Sure.
It's really kind of a Bane-Batman story between the two movies.
Okay.
Very, very similar. No, of course, that's the it's a procedural film, you know, of new...
Like Law and Order.
Actually, it's... There's definitely some real correlation to, like, a Law and Order style to this. But instead of cops, it's journalists.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's... The acting is very well done. The pacing is really good. There's some really... impactful moment, and it's from a movie. Like, if you think about a Law and Order episode where it's like they walk into a room like, oh man, what's this? Well, we better go find out who this guy that left his business card is here. Bum bum. They go to it's like, you left your business card here. It's like, oh yeah, well that was Rebecca. Bum bum. Rebecca, you know, and like, but there's something about the way like Law and Order and Spotlight, the acting is so good and it just keeps moving. Then they pepper in these moments of like really good emotion, and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, like it's very good. It's like it's like the greatest episode of Law and Order you've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
ever. Plus two,
okay,
it's really good.
Cool.
But again, it's not the kind of movie that you watch a bunch.
Sure. Well, I haven't been watching any movies, but I have been playing one of your favorite series of games, Prince of Persia.
God. Damn it.
The Forgotten Sands.
Ugh.
Woo, boy.
Seriously, not only do I just dislike Prince of Persia games, I think I dislike that every fucking thing about that series. The movie, everything. The names of the games, Sands of Time, Lost Sands, Sand in Your Shoes.
Sand in general.
Sandy panties.
Time. The concept of time.
I hate them. I hate them.
Now, can you, very briefly, can you just tell me why you hate them?
A, jumping.
And that's it.
That's mostly it. I hate that they cast Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, we're not talking about that. That's a piece of garbage movie.
Fine. Well, it's part of this franchise.
Well, I mean, it's not
fine.
Part of
going back to the game, jumping, mainly jumping. I feel like it's some cheap bastardization of Aladdin.
Just because they're set in the same kind of area,
yes,
of the world?
Yes. And you mean an Aladdin world? Yes. That is what I mean. I don't like that.
There is no genies. There's not even any I guess there is a princess.
I mean, he is the prince of Persia. There has to be a princess of Persia.
And there's an evil guy that you have to overcome.
Wearing like a big red robe thing.
You're right, Steve. I can't see why I didn't see it before.
God, it's terrible.
Yeah, you're right. It's almost interchangeable, Aladdin and the Prince of Persia.
Thank you. Except you have Robin Williams and the Aladdin, and you've got a bunch of bullshit in the Prince of Persia.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed the shit out of the Prince of Persia.
Oh, me too, me too.
Yeah, I can tell. I remember playing it with you, how mad you got, because you are terrible at jumping.
Yes.
Jumping in video games, jumping in real life. You suck at karaoke, the song Jump.
My worst song, by far.
Anything that involves the word jumping, you hate. And I remember every time I would play, I'd be like, oh man, this is so fun. These like jumping platforming puzzles. And then you take the controller and instantly die. Just multiple times in a row, hand the controller back to me. Like, okay. Then there'd be times of combat, and the combat in the first Prince of Persia game left a lot to be desired. I will give that to you.
Great. So the one thing I liked, once I got through slogging through the bullshit that you liked, and I got to my part, that also sucked. Great. Sounds like an awesome time.
There was a massive PlayStation sale a couple weeks ago when a bunch of the HD Prince of Persia games were on sale for like $1.50 or $2. And I was like, wow, I remember enjoying that game. I'll get one of the sequels. So I got it. And man, I am freaking loving it. The jumping is amazing. The jumping platforming puzzles are wonderful. They fix the combat. No, it's not Arkham Asylum or anything. It's not that level of combat. But the combat's a hell of a lot better than it was in the first game. And yeah, man, I just dig it. It's so smooth. The gameplay is just so smooth.
It's so smooth. It's like some sand in your butt crack.
Yeah, you know, smooth. Like sand in your vagina.
You know what I'm saying. I think we agree. It's the worst franchise of all time.
I don't think that's what I said.
I think that's exactly what you said.
We need to roll the tape back.
So movie mode was not done yet.
Now, okay, great.
I had one more movie I watched in my sickness.
Prince of Persia?
Prince of Persia.
No,
two. No, I watched the movie I really, really wanted to see, and that was A Hateful Eight.
Oh, okay.
Yikes. And a lot of people say it's Quentin Tarantino's worst movie, and
to that I will say, have you ever seen Death Proof?
Yeah, that's kind of a Tarantino movie.
Okay.
Kind of not. Anyway, I'm not a huge fan of Hateful Eight. It wasn't terrible, but it's basically a movie in three acts, kind of. At least. What's that face?
I mean, most movies are in three acts, Steve.
This movie is in a very clear three-act structure.
Are there intermissions after each act?
No, there is an intermission, but it's... Yeah, because when he filmed it in the 70mm for like the special edition thing, whatever, there is an intermission in that version. But I did not watch that one, so you can tell exactly where the intermission would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not in there. But the first act is really slow. It's really slow. Act two is decent, and act three really gets going. But by the time you get to act three, it almost feels like a different movie than what you started with, which can be good, I guess. I don't know. It just didn't really float my boat necessarily. I still dug part of it. I'm going to give it like a 73.
So your boat's kind of partially floating. It's taking on water.
There's a couple small holes in there that we're going to deal with it.
Yeah.
We're going to deal with it.
Okay.
I mean, if you like Quentin Tarantino, it's definitely worth a watch.
Mm-hmm.
But
like him as a person or as a filmmaker?
Yeah, if you like him as a lover, then this is worth spending a little bit of time. If you find him too aggressive to make love to, perhaps not watch.
I wonder if Quentin Tarantino, as a lover, makes you call him the N-word.
Don't worry. There is no shortcoming of the N-word in this movie as well.
Oh, good. Oh, good. He met his quota?
Yes. Not Django-level quota.
Okay.
But definitely dropping the N-bomb a significant portion of times.
Oh, good. Well, I was worried for a second.
Fear not, friend.
Fear Thank not. You. Thank
so
you.
So I watched both those movies. Spotlight's definitely way better.
Mm-hmm. And how many times is the N-word in that one?
Also, carpet bombing with it. It is a lot. You wouldn't think Michael Keaton would seem so comfortable just throwing it around. But apparently, and I read that a lot of that was improvised. He just...
Wow.
Yeah, just throwing N-words all over the place.
I also read there was a lot of other racial slurs.
Oh, yeah.
Some even made up.
Yeah. It's also in a flugelgoog.
Yeah. Hey, you bird catcher. Like, what?
I think that was against, like, Swedish people and Brazilians?
No, ornithologists.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a race, it. Right?
Totally got it. But anyway, so I watched both of those. If you like Quentin Tarantino, watch The Hateful Eight. It's worth it to if you're a fan. If you like Law and Order and that kind of stuff, by all means, watch Spotlight. And if you like good movies in general, watch Spotlight. It's very good.
And if you like good video games, play Prince of Persia: The Forgotten Sands.
Or cut your own tongue out. Your choice. I mean, you have options. Just remind yourself, you always have options.
Wow. Okay. All right, see, before we head into this week's Top 5, we got a bunch of emails written in from last week's Top 5, which was musical moments in non-musicals. We got so many emails written in, we wish we could have time to read them all, but because we do not live in a space-time bubble like Steve does when he plays a video game, we only have time to read a few. So we're going to start with one of our old favorites, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. He writes in his Top 5. His number 5 is from the Scrubs episode My Lunch, How to Save a Life by The Fray. You are not a Scrubs fan, correct?
Yeah, I don't hate Scrubs. I just never spent the time to watch Scrubs.
This one would definitely make my list if I would have thought of it. It's a great, heartbreaking scene in one of the very few serious episodes of Scrubs. And this is hardcore seriousness. And just the song usage really fit the scene really well. No spoilers, but really good pick.
How many seasons of Scrubs were there yet?
Oh, too many.
Well... How many in total?
9, I think.
Okay. There was season 5?
Yeah, season 5. His number 4 is Cuban Pete from The Mask.
Oh, yeah.
They call him Cuban Pete. He's the king of the rumba beat. When he shakes his maracas, you go jig, jiggy, boom, jig, jiggy, boom.
That's exactly how it goes.
Yep.
Man, I love The Mask. I feel like that movie is so overlooked and underrated.
Sure. I never really thought of it that way, but sure.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time even you and I mentioned The Mask?
I mention it every single day.
That's true.
When
That's
I wake true. Up.
Your alarm goes up, The Mask! Oh, God, The Mask! Sweetheart, are you okay? Oh, yeah, it's just how I wake up.
Exactly.
And man, Cameron Diaz in The Mask.
Ooh, man. Hard-pressed to find a movie where she looks better.
Hard-pressed to find a movie where another woman looks better than her in The Mask. She's so hot in The Mask.
She is.
Damn.
Yeah. But his number 3 is Under Pressure in the movie Gross Point Blank.
John Cusack in that, I believe.
That is correct. I've never seen it, but he gives it the Duncan Parker Newton Gaines recommendation.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy.
Heavy.
Wow.
His number 2 is Girls Just Want to Have Fun from one of our favorites, Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, man. There's, you know, I wish I put a little, I didn't do Bioshock Infinite because I've mentioned it several times.
Too many times, almost.
Too many times. But the music in that game is so damn good. Mm-hmm. So good, the way they integrate it in that story. I know I've said it before, but Duncan Parker Newton Gaines, thank you for putting it on your list.
And his number 1 is America the Beautiful from Fallout 3. I've never played it.
America the Beautiful.
Because you'd never see me again.
I thought about the song from Fallout 3 where, I don't know if you've played it, you know the... I don't want to set the world on fire.
See, Wes... I never realized you had such an angelic voice.
If you, which obviously you've not played the game, but anyone who has played the game knows that song very well. So that's the one that I take away from Fallout 3. I might have to go back and watch a little. I think I know the part that America the Beautiful is in.
He says, this one is a bit personal, but the very first time I played Fallout 3, just as I was leaving the vault for the first time, I was over-encumbered, and America the Beautiful started playing on my Pip-Boy just as I exited into the Capital Wasteland. The juxtaposition of the song next to the visual of the destroyed DC was something that's stuck with me since I played it.
Nice, nice. Okay, maybe that's perhaps why I don't recall it as strongly.
So it sounds like it was just kind of a random coincidence?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Fantastic.
Cool. Nice, dude.
So the next email that was written in is from Oscar.
Oscar.
Not the Grouch.
Oscar.
Yes, Oscar.
Oscar.
His number five is Pursuit of Happiness by Kid Cudi from Project X.
I actually heard that movie's pretty good.
I've never seen it.
Neither have I. And I know my wife, she digs some Kid Cudi.
She's like, I know my wife.
I know my wife.
That's
number
it.
Four.
His number four is Get Low by Lil Jon and Need for Speed Underground.
Okay. I'm seeing a trend here. I see we got a hip-hop fan here.
Okay. Now, well, does not continue with his number three, Ode to Joy in Peggle. He says, probably the only reason why I played so many levels. Hearing that song made you feel like you accomplished something important.
Nice.
Yep. I understand that feeling completely.
I like that a lot.
His number two is See You Again by Wiz Khalifa in Fast and Furious 7.
I see we are back on the rails here.
Yep. His number one is Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd, Kingsman/Devil's Rejects.
Kingsman. Is that the song that plays in the awesome fight scene in The Kingsman, did you say?
And then again with Kingsman, the build-up in the church and then just going nuts in the church scene.
Yep, that's the scene.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, that is it. That's a, you know what? That's a very good pick. That scene is really good. It's really, really good.
Now, would you recommend this movie for me, Steve?
Yeah. It's a decent Redbox / better Netflix than a Redbox, I think.
Okay.
Basically, you're really watching it for about three scenes, really, is what you're watching it for. But, yeah, there's some fun action. Doesn't take itself too seriously. It's a decent watch. It's a good popcorn movie.
Okay, we're going to move to a new submitter, Sam.
Sam!
Writes in his top five, the end of Arrested Development Season 4, Boomerang. Now, you didn't watch all of Arrested Development Season 4.
Yeah, it's true. I did not.
He says, I really like the latest season of Arrested Development and the final scene where George Michael, spoilers, okay, so if you want to watch it, go ahead. Okay. You're gone? Great. George Michael punches his dad in the face, followed by this really punchy tune by Lucy Schwartz was, in my opinion, an amazing ending. I know your opinions differ on open endings, but something about the execution of this one really made me grin.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
His number four is Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, Meeting the Jaguar Shark. I've never seen this movie.
You know what? Nor have I. I should have at this point.
Are you a fan of Wes Anderson?
I am a I saw Royal Tenenbaums long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was a mere youth, and I did not understand what I was watching.
I think I did the same thing.
And I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
But then I watched, I think I missed all of them until Grand Budapest Hotel.
Okay.
And I watched that, and I dug it.
Okay.
It's good. So then, right after that, Holly and I went back and we watched, Moonrise Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like Moonrise Kingdom as well. So, I think I'm now gonna start going from back, as in most current Wes Anderson, towards the beginning. Cause so, I also didn't like, he did Rushmore too, right?
Sure.
I think he did. I did not like Rushmore either when I was a kid.
So you're coming around on the old Wes Anderson.
Yeah, so if I basically in the last 5 years, I'm 2 for 2 with Wes Anderson of movies I really liked. So
okay, fair enough. How is he as a lover?
Oh man, he is so aggressive. You thought Quentin Tarantino did some stuff? My God,
I would not have thought that.
That's why it's so surprising.
Wow. Okay,
it really catches you unawares.
Well, we're gonna talk more about this in future podcasts. His number three, though, Sam's. Remember the Sam's number three?
Oh yeah,
yeah. His number three is Simpsons. Any original song from the first 7 or so seasons?
It's a good pick.
It's a really good pick.
Yeah.
His number two is Hell Yeah, Tales from the Borderlands intro sequences. There is an intro sequence to one of the later episodes that I legitimately was sad. that I would not be able to experience that again for the first time.
Did he say just from Tales from the Borderland?
Yeah, what's that?
Or do you say just from Tales of the Borderland or from the Borderlands series as a whole?
He just writes Tales from the Borderlands.
Okay, all right.
Because
It wouldn't be in my, obviously, in my top five, but the intro sequence to original Borderlands is with Cage the Elephant is still pretty good.
So, Steve, how's Tales from the Borderlands coming?
Man, just great.
Yeah, sure, man. You love those intro sequences, right?
Love them.
Yeah, great. What was your favorite one so far?
It was my favorite one was... the one where Alexander the Great from Civilization V. Nope.
I don't think we're thinking of the same thing.
Oh, boy.
His number one is Fight Club, Where Is My Mind? The ending that made my list last week.
Yep.
Very good pick.
Nice picks, everyone.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to skip ahead. We only have time for one more.
Oh, my.
King Arthur Pendragon himself writes
it. It has been such an age.
I know. He was very surprised about this internet thing, but the first thing he did was listen to our podcast.
My heavens. Finally, the messenger pigeon has arrived, and we can read the list.
His number five from Breaking Bad, Everyone Knows It's Windy.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm not quite sure what the scene is.
This is, Wendy is the prostitute that we know for a little while.
Okay.
Classic song, like 60s era. The everyone knows it's Wendy.
Oh.
And Wendy has stormy eyes. And Wendy has wings to fly or something like that.
Do we get to see her like going down on a guy or something?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I remember
the dude
this.
In the car. It's a montage of her hooking.
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 Hooking up.
Getting them dollars.
Ooh.
Buying that meth.
Oh, yeah.
Getting kicked out of the car. Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
We get to see the life of a prostitute for a little while there.
Yeah. All right. Good pick.
And a very innocent kind of song that goes along with it.
His number four is from the movie Magnolia, the Amy Mann song Wise Up. Now, I have not seen this movie, but he added a clip, and man, that clip... Be sad.
We got some sadness going on.
Some sad. It got the feels.
Yeah, I saw Magnolia a long time. This was when I was doing my big critically acclaimed films. I was watching a lot of them in high school just to know what they were. Yeah. And so it's been a while since I've seen Magnolia. Like try 14 years on Magnolia or something
oof,
like that.
Oof, really showing your age, Steve.
Sure am. I watched it on a black and white television powered by a horse.
His number three is the Final Fantasy VII Final Battle song, One Winged Angel.
Man, that's anything from Final Fantasy VII, you know, is right up my alley. So
sure,
I'm not gonna harp on that pick.
His number two is the 6 Feet Under final scene, Breathe Me. This scene, we did, I think we did best, what do we do? Best series endings, I think?
Series finales, yeah.
Series finales, yeah. This one made my list for this scene, and it pisses me off that I didn't even think of it for this list, because it is one of the best series finales I have ever seen.
Well, you are a giant buffoon.
That's right. Just stumbling through life, stumbling through these podcasts. That's what I do.
So it's no surprise you missed one of your own favorite things.
That's right. That I mentioned so many times before. His number one is, oh my god, I'm so mad I didn't think of this, and you're going to be mad too. It's from Shaun of the Dead, Don't Stop Me Now.
Mother of God.
God damn it. King Arthur Pendragon. He didn't
my
even
liege.
Know.
My liege, I bow to you.
This is why he is the king.
I love this moment. Because I also love Queen. And it's just, it's phenomenal. And the, kill the queen!
Now, do you love Queen as a person, or do you love his music?
What?
Do you love Queen as a person, Freddie Mercury as a person, or do you love his music?
For the record, Queen is not a person.
Well, it's King Arthur, his queen.
Oh, yes. His queen, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, that's right.
No, I love Queen as a band. I love Freddie Mercury as a musician, and I love their music in general. And I love Shaun of the Dead. And I love when their forces combine and they slap a zombie in the head with pool cues as they dance around in a circle. Wes!
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pretty great.
Thank you.
Well, god damn it, I'm mad that I didn't think of it.
I know, me too.
God, this is why I voted for the king. That's how that works.
Nice list, man. And thanks for writing in for the first time. Always good to hear from you, my liege.
Yes, yes, of course. Well, Steve, we have to look ahead to this week's top five. What is this week's top five?
Oh, boy. This week, we are identifying the big red flags, a.k.a. when you're talking to somebody and like, man, I just love blank. And you say, ooh.
I think I gave the example about a month ago of when a few of my friends were watching Hard Candy with another one of my friends. And this woman said, after the movie was over, I really want to be that girl. Giant red flag.
So for my list, I went with my thought was, you say you like this thing, therefore I don't think I can trust your opinion on entertainment going forward.
Interesting. I went at this list a little differently. I am a strong believer that I have my opinion, you have your opinion, and sometimes never the twain shall meet. And no matter how long we discuss it, you're never going to sway me over to your side. And so let's just, you like what you like, and I like what I like. So the way I went at my list is how I can just tell that some people are just way off the reservation as far as entertainment goes. Does that make sense?
And perhaps you don't trust their opinion on...
Well, I guess that's another way to say that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I will begin. And of course, there's all sorts of things on here you can put on that. Like, for example, something like, oh man, I just can't get enough Andy Dick.
Like, ooh.
Like, I will obviously think poorly of you.
Like, you know the best part of Old Yeller? The ending. Hilarious.
So, but the thing is, nobody is like, man, I can't get enough Andy Dick. Nobody has ever said that.
Is that your number five?
No.
Okay.
No. So I'm just using that example because I'm going to put things on here that I've either heard people say or is in the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Not going impossible stuff on here. So my number five.
Like Andy Dick.
Nobody likes Andy Dick, nor have they ever liked Andy Dick, nor will they like him in the future. My number five.
Poor Andy Dick.
He did it to himself. My number five is a combo platter.
Oh, good.
You get your choice of either side. And that is going to be anyone that comes up to me and says, man, I never miss a season of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
I question you. I question you in a very serious way because I have over the – keep in mind, The Bachelor has been running for – it's something like 14 years or something like that.
So right around Magnolia time.
Around Magnolia time. And we were joking about how old I was then.
Yeah.
That's how long this shitty, quote-unquote, reality show has been going on. And somewhere in those 14 or so years, I've caught part of an episode here or there. Probably three across the years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, dude. It is horrendous. It is so awful. It's a terrible, terrible show. And not to say that there is any shortage of terrible shows out there, but I can tell you that when someone flashes the red card to me like, look, I really enjoyed Spotlight. I even liked The Hateful Eight. But man, I had to take a break in the middle of Hateful Eight because I didn't want to miss Rebecca and Johnny's hot date at the hot tub. I have no excuse for somebody watching that show.
But Steve, they're trying to find their true love.
Yeah, that's not true.
What? How many marriages that happen on The Bachelor or The Bachelorette have failed, Steve? Name one.
I wish I could name one, but I can't name a single marriage from any of those shows. I will tell you the one that I thought was actually... I liked the concept of it just for my own devious reasons. Do you remember when they did Joe Millionaire on Fox?
Wait, this sounds familiar.
So it was The Bachelor had been on for whatever, like 6 years or something. And Fox was like, we're going to do The Bachelor, and these lucky ladies are going to marry this millionaire, except for the fact that he's actually a construction worker from Omaha, and he's not a millionaire.
I remember that.
So all these girls were going after each other to win this dude's heart, a.k.a. his checkbook. And he's like, I choose you, Rebecca. Oh, and by the way, I'm a plumber. Or like whatever he is. And they're like, son of a bitch. It's like, I didn't watch any of the, but I was like, you know what? I kind of dig that concept, at least in, like, I'm glad they're doing that.
Sure. Have you ever seen the web series Burning Love?
No.
It's a fantastic web series. It's really short, like 5-minute episodes, and it makes fun of this, and it showcases a lot of LA comedians. It's super funny, and I recommend people check it out because they make fun of these types of shows.
So I could put a lot of these style shows in here. There are some that are arguably worse. But I feel like The Bachelor / Bachelorette are the ones that really started this kind of like, here's one person, and here is a flock of people that he and she needs to weed down to find their one true love in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I remember watching a few of these tearful speeches about how they love this person after knowing them and after this person has given them challenges for weeks.
I won the horseback riding competition and I really felt a bond with you, Chet.
God, Chet has been every single bachelor's name.
Hi, my name is James. Cut.
Sorry.
No, your name is Chet.
But no, man.
No. Sorry, Chet.
Okay. All right, that's your number five.
Number five, Bachelor, Bachelorette. Get out of here. Not interested.
My number five is an interesting number five.
I'll be the judge of that.
It's one that's a little difficult to explain. It's when a person, I had an ex-girlfriend who did this, and it drove me effing nuts. When somebody makes blanket statements about a movie, TV show, video game, or series of video games based on the minimal amount of information. The example I'll use, I had an ex-girlfriend. When I got GTA 5, I realized I just, for listeners of the podcast, you probably know which girlfriend I'm talking about. Just really nailed that down. Okay, when I got GTA 5, this girlfriend, who shall remain nameless, said that she does not like any of the GTA games because they are all about running people over and banging prostitutes. And I said, you realize there is so much more to these games, right? That is just something that stupid high school boys do for a few hours.
And me.
and Steve still does to this day. And she's like, no, that's all I know about them. Because I watched my brother play it for a few minutes, and that's all he and his friends did in high school. So you don't know any more than that. And you're just making that blanket statement about that. And she had this terrible habit of walking into a movie or a TV show, seeing just a few seconds of it, walking out of the room saying, oh, this movie's stupid. Like, you just saw a few lines of dialogue. Well, I was watching Hellraiser, and Hellraiser is a great movie. It holds up, but the effects do not. They're very late 70s, early 80s neon light effects. It's not good. So she walks in as a friend and I are watching Hellraiser, and she sees this, and she was like, oh, this movie's ridiculous, and leaves. What are you talking about? This is a classic. It's just, she did that shit all the time, and it drives me nuts. So when somebody says, oh, man, I just don't like this, I'm like, I always have to ask, how much have you seen?
Yes, I agree. Gross generalizations and hyperbole of things. Like, I always do this, and I never like movies with ghosts in them. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, you do.
Shut up.
God, you liar. You liar. I agree with you. I agree.
Thank you.
But I also find that, for me, that transcends entertainment things as well. I just hate it when people speak in gross generalizations.
Sure.
As well. So I will go on a limb and I will say, I hate all people who I hate.
Wait, do you always hate all people who
I
you
always
hate?
Hate only the people I always hate.
Oh, great. Well, I think you can actually back that up.
Actually, that one does. Now, I'm moving on to my number four, and I know should not be on my list.
Taking off the hat, I see.
However, this encounter I'm about to explain to you is the genesis of this list.
The Sega Genesis?
The Sega Genesis Master Console of this list.
Wow.
So, there's our very good friend Mike, who's been on the podcast several times. He is a huge movie buff. He owns like 1,000 movies, whatever, and he works at a used DVD, Blu-ray, you know, shop. And he's got just gets tons and tons and tons of video games and movies and everything.
Yeah, think of like a halfway house for DVDs and video games.
I mean, he gets, and they find a nice home at his place, that's for sure. Yeah. He's got another buddy that is just as obsessed with this stuff, and he's obsessed with the collecting of movies and that kind of thing. Even more than watching them, he wants to collect them. And I've realized he's one of these guys that he wants to be nice about everything. He doesn't want to give everything a failing grade. He's the teacher that gives everyone, even a failing paper, a C- instead of an F.
Okay.
Whereas I'm like, you missed a period here. F! And we were talking movies last week, talking shop.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he liked Prometheus.
Steve, I'm surprised this isn't your number one.
I did not put it my number one because I shouldn't even be allowed to put it on my list at all.
That's right.
That's why I dropped it to 4. But I had to put this on because I got into this conversation with this guy, and I was like, look, man, I gotta tell you. And I told him this straight. We've only hung out like twice, and I was like, I gotta tell you, man. There were a couple of movies that you were talking about that you liked. I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine, whatever. I didn't really dig this movie. That's fine. You just said that you liked Prometheus, and I have to be honest with you. I don't know if I can believe anything that you say about movies going forward. I have to be honest. He's like, okay, come on. It wasn't that bad. I was like, now it's been a little while since I've had to dust off the old Prometheus rant, but I'll tell you right now, I had about a solid 22-minute one down to the wire of why this is a fucking abortion of a movie. And he was like, well, I was like, and I feel it coming back. I feel the juices flowing, baby. And I started, and I just gave him like a little 5.5-minute snippet. He's like, wow, you, whoa. He was taken aback. He's like, wow, you really, really thought about this way more than I did. He's like, I guess what I'm trying to say is I thought the effects were good, and I was like, yeah, well, guess what? It's like, if you like movies for effects, then go watch fucking Avatar, dude. And give me a full report on how good that is. And he's like, well, Avatar. I was like, I'm not talking about Avatar. I'm talking about Prometheus. And he's like, whoa. Like, he got brought into a world he was not ready for.
Wow, man. Wow.
And I realized, I mean, after my Prometheus, you know, as you know, I was mad for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just laid dormant. Just laid dormant, like Godzilla underneath Japan.
Sure.
Just dormant.
Sure.
And then all I needed was just the slightest little spark to fall into the kindling. And I was like, wow, I realize now that anybody that tries to defend Prometheus to me, if they do not have absolute A+ defense, I am done. I'm done, and I don't trust you.
I'm really glad you have your priorities straight on these hot button issues. Gun control, abortion. No, you don't care. Whatever. I mean, Prometheus.
It is cut and dry, friend. That movie sucks. And if you say otherwise, I have to call in to question everything you hold true.
All right. Well, I'm glad that the Prometheus did make your list because it's been a while.
It has been a while. But if this whole podcast wasn't based off of that conversation, it would not be on the list. But there it is.
Well, my number four my number four is just if somebody says that they tried watching Arrested Development and they didn't get it. Now, I won't think less of this person by any means, because I will just log that away as a red flag that they won't get my sense of humor.
Sure.
They probably don't have much of a sense of humor. They, and that's fine, but that's just a red flag for me to tone it down a bit in the old, in the old Wes personality, the Wessonality, as I call it. Like, shit like that wouldn't fly with that person who didn't get Arrested
Actually,
Development.
Actually, I think shit like that would fly really well with them, to be honest.
I don't know. I think Wessonality is Arrested Development level humor.
Yeah, you're right. You were a co-writer on the show, right?
That's right. None of my scripts made it to the production stage, but I was a co-writer.
So by a co-writer, you mean you sat at home and you mailed them some writings.
On some cocktail napkins.
Nice.
And some letterheads. It was great. Yeah, so if someone says that, I gotta know, I gotta keep things with you to just shallow sentences, I guess is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Shallow, simple sentences, monosyllabic.
Yeah. You know? Thanks for dumbing it down for me right now, Wes.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
That's my number four.
Because I don't want too much Wessonality all over me. No, man, I understand. I also don't like the... There's this kind of idea like, oh, Arrested Development is for smart people. And like it's like, and Family Guy is for dumb people. And like, I don't want to disagree with that. But I feel like, again, because it is a gross generalization. But I think there is at least some truth to the idea. Like, Family Guy is not subtle. There are no gradients. It is sharp. Like, it hits you hard. Mm-hmm. And Arrested Development is a much different kind of comedy.
Sure.
That can appeal to someone that can keep up with it for longer, I suppose.
Sure.
But I understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Understand where you come from.
Thanks. Thanks, honey.
So, number three. Again, this is a real thing. People say this.
What?
I know.
I don't even believe it, and I haven't heard it yet.
This kind of goes two ways.
Oh
yeah,
one of those.
This one, oh my! It means everyone is in play. This when people a person were to say to me, "Yeah, man, I really only like to watch movies / listen to music on VHS or records."
This was honestly an honorable mention. For me,
I know for a lot of people, the records thing would probably be more prominent, I suppose, because vinyl is making a very big comeback to people. To me, if you're into vinyl and that's your thing, that's cool, dude. That's not an immediate red flag to me. What is an immediate red flag to me is you're like, I don't listen to anything but vinyl.
Yeah.
Like, that, I'm like, okay, you're pretentious.
Yeah.
And you're closing yourself off to a bunch of stuff and you're just being a dick about it. But on the VHS side, I swear to God, I know a person who, not that they will not watch something on a Blu-ray, but they are physically like, ugh, Blu-rays, no. Like, I want my VHS. I'm like, why do you long for something that is shittier? Why? For why?
It's been so long since I've watched a VHS tape. But don't you have to, you put it into the VCR, and don't you have to, like, do the tracking thing?
I mean, yeah, early ones, towards...
Oh, well, my small town, hometown.
There was many, for the last several years were auto-tracking, but it would do that. But,
yeah.
It's not saying anything crazy. I mean, the picture quality is a million times better, the audio quality a million times better. You don't need to rewind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the case is open and closed. It's done.
Yeah.
You can't even play VHS on modern TVs because they look so terrible.
And why VHS? Like, why not, if you're going to be that way, oh, I'm really listening to vinyl, then why don't you go 35mm with this? Get your own projector. Like,
yeah.
Why VHS? Why this shitty medium?
Yeah, so I know that's a smaller percentage, but when people are like, yeah, because to me it's also like, oh, I don't, it doubles up also with, I don't like to watch anything new. It's like, great. You know what? You're right. There haven't been any good movies in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Prince of Persia? Hello.
Thank you. And the vinyl thing to me is, it's so pretentious. In the way I only listen to vinyl. It's like, you know what? Good. Like, enjoy listening to your vinyl on the bus. You know, like, are you taking a road trip? Cool. Why don't you throw your turntable up on my dashboard, and let's play some Zeppelin? Awesome, dude. real cool. Just that kind of, it's cool if like, if you're into vinyl and you're into like your old movies and like, and whatever, that's cool, dude. But once you throw up the red flag to me of, I only listen to vinyl or I only watch VHS or whatever, it's like, cool. So you are an asshole. Got it. Like, got it. Let me pull back the old Wessonality on you.
Yeah.
And get this Prometheus rant ready, because I'm pretty sure you're the kind of guy that it's going to bust that out on.
Well, Prometheus and VHS is probably so much better.
And to be honest, that's a pretty damn good movie.
All right. Well, my number three, it's very specific. But I've heard people say something like this. But I'm going to condense it to basically just, if someone says, basically, I like every single Will Ferrell movie except Stranger Than Fiction, I got to be like, oh, so you like that kind of comedy, right? Because I heard somebody say this back when I was getting real sick of Will Ferrell, right around Step Brothers time.
Okay.
Nowadays, it's almost like the Prometheus thing with you. I can't even think about Step Brothers without getting pissed off. Because whenever I think about it, all I can think about is Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly dancing and jumping around like a bunch of fucking monkeys. That's all that movie is to me. And so when people say, ah, Stranger Than Fiction, that's not a good movie. But you know what is a good movie? Step Brothers, Blades of Glory, the fucking ping pong one that they did. Like, I'm just like, how is this even a thing that you're saying right now?
Like, I love Jim Carrey except for Eternal Sunshine and The Truman Show.
Yeah, like, and The Majestic, get that out of here. Give me fucking, I'm trying to think of a crappy Jim Carrey movie.
Well, I mean, going from, like, just, not that I think they're crappy, you know, but like Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, you know, the real slapsticky, like, Jim Carrey and, you know, whatever.
Sure, sure.
So, or is it just particularly Will Ferrell with you?
I thought of Will Ferrell, but that certainly is something as well. Somebody that's just, you know, take out their, I guess, quote unquote, artsy movies and only likes their dumb movies, I guess. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It does.
I'm trying not to sound like too pretentious or anything, but it's like, if somebody tells me, oh man, I fucking loved Step Brothers. Anchorman was okay. Stranger Than Fiction, didn't like that movie at all. Like, okay, dude. We have two separate ideas of what is funny.
And never the twain shall they meet.
Never the twain shall meet.
All right. Because actually, this is going to roll into something for me as well. So we'll leave that for a moment.
Okay.
It goes to my number two, which is The Real Housewives of Wherever the Fuck.
I love that show.
I don't care where you are housewiving.
Mm-hmm.
Does not matter to me if it is, I think there's New Jersey. I think there's Orange County. Florida?
Tallahassee?
The Real Housewives of Tallahassee.
Real Housewives of the Chattahoochee.
Man, that is, I mean, there's,
sorry to see the Real Housewives of Boise, Idaho.
I would actually not be surprised if that's the best one. They're actually just really nice people.
Yeah, just trying to make it in the world. It's
like, well, Rebecca ran out of whipped cream for her brownie sundae. So I just went down and I brought some to her. We whipped it up together and it was delicious and the kids had a really great time. Like, fuck you, Cindy!
I like how that's how we picture Boise, Idaho. But I bet if we went up there, war zone.
Unreal. The carnage cannot be shown in conventional media. It we cannot tolerate to see it. We block it out. The Real Housewives of anywhere is unacceptable to me.
Sure.
There's certain things that are just absolute trash TV. Like Jerry Springer was trash TV. And at least Jerry Springer, like, unabashedly was like, this is trash TV. We know it. We're the trashiest of the trash. And if you're watching this, you're going to watch trash. I feel like Real Housewives, at least from the tiny little bit that I can glean, some people are delusional to think that this is not trash in some way. That this is
I'm sorry. There, everyone knows that it's trash, right?
I mean, you'd think that, but apparently they do not.
Ooh.
And it's these manufactured celebrity, quote unquote, creating these like D-list celebrity people for this short period of time that just these, I mean, this assembly line of these terrible like situations that are formulated for them to get into and just bitch at each other and whatever. It's like, it's horrible. So for someone to tell me like, man, I want to put myself in that train wreck. Am I right? I'm like, you are wrong. You are incorrect. All of us have our guilty pleasures. We all do. And there are some that I'm like, you know what? It's okay if that is your guilty pleasure. It needs to be so guilty that you don't tell me about it. Like, that's the level that needs to be at.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what needs to happen.
Sure.
That's just for me. Because I don't appreciate anything that they do, mm-hmm. that show does. And the fact that there are like 9 spinoff shows and that there are women from that show that get their own talk shows.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nothing about you is qualified to do any of these things,
mm-hmm.
except for the fact that you have big boobs or this, or like, or what, like, not interested. And you are the kind of show that is flooding all 690 channels with crap.
Yeah.
So like anyone that's like, I'm buying in, like, sell. So again, obviously people watch it, but just don't. It does affect the way I think about you. Please don't tell me.
I actually have never seen an episode. I don't even really know what it's about. Is it just following these housewives of wherever the fuck?
Yeah, and then they bitch each other, and that's it.
That sounds like a waste of a show.
Yeah. Because, again, man, then you've got the little things that are basically very similar of, like, Dance Moms, mm-hmm. or, like, any of that bullshit where it's like, here's Cindy, she's the brunette bitch. Like, here's Melissa, she's the blonde one. It's like, wow, guys, riveting. Thank you for taking money and producing this. Fantastic. Great.
All right, so that's number 2.
Yes, Real Housewives of Everywhere.
If you're a housewife, you're on Steve's list.
I'm a list.
Okay, so my number 2 is people who excessively quote movies.
Sure.
And what I thought of when I put this on the list was how everyone from my hometown would excessively quote Adam Sandler movies. Oof. It drove me nuts. So I just pictured going to a bar or a party today and just meeting some dude who's like, yeah, man, just tap it in. Like, oh, my God, I'm shaking in anger. It's some kind of Pavlovian response.
Yeah, it's it is incredible how really majority of those quotes, I know exactly what you're talking about, are Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison.
Yeah, yeah.
There's other ones, but like, and some Big Daddy. But those two movies, our generation has quoted them beyond death.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Beyond death, rebirth, and death again.
It is insane.
Back in my hometown, they quoted Little Nicky and The Waterboy. Two of Sandler's, I think, his worst movies.
Oh, that's not true, but that's okay.
Okay, fair enough.
There, I'm sorry, but I just recently... Actually, I'm just going to take this moment right now, Wes, because my number one is Adam Sandler.
Oh, fantastic.
That's my number one.
Great.
So this is a perfect lead-in.
Wonderful.
Your number two and your number one perfectly combined to make my number one.
I love it.
Because, Adams, again, as I said, our generation, we grew up with Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, two very formative comedic movies of our youth.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. They have a place for what they are. That's fine. I'm not going to harp on them. I enjoyed the shit out of them when I was a kid. Not a problem. And some of them still hold up. You know why I don't say Waterboy and Little Nicky are the worst of Adam Sandler?
Why?
Because I'm specifically talking about Adam Sandler basically, I'll say post- like Punch Drunk Love, basically,
mm-hmm.
in the last 8 years when the Adam Sandler idea is like, fuck it, I'm just going to make shitty movies with my friends.
Okay.
And someone's going to buy it. Mm-hmm. And everybody buys them.
Mm-hmm.
Pixels, the Grown-Ups 1 and 2.
Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill. Don't mess with the Zohan.
That's my boy.
That's my boy. Oh, my God. Anger Management.
I didn't think Anger Management was that bad.
I mean, okay, it's not as bad as the other ones that we just said, but like Jack and Jill.
Oh, terrible.
The Cobbler.
The Ridiculous Six.
I was going to save the best for fucking last.
Yeah.
The Ridiculous Six. Like, anybody that is like, it's like, man, this last year, I love Mad Max. Man, I was so glad I had Netflix this last year because I watched Ridiculous Six. That was awesome. Like, oh my God, man. My God, man. My God. Like, done. The jury immediately all voted, you are guilty. The jury left. They're gone. The judge, the courtroom is shut down, my friends. It's not opening back up. That's it. You've sealed your fate. If you tell me, Grown-Ups, man, I thought one was okay, but two is where they really hit their stride. I don't care. There's almost nothing you can tell me about Adam Sandler from the last 8 years. They're like, yeah, big fan. I cannot help but start yelling at you. I cannot stop myself. I can't. If someone's like, man, I love Adam Sandler, and I give them their look, and they're like, I mean, I love Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore. Cool, dude. That's fine. Yeah. I love Punch Drunk Love. Cool, dude. That's great. I loved
Wedding Singer.
Wedding Singer? Cool. I loved Comedians. You're like, fine, cool. He's trying something different. That's fine. Once you start getting into Grown-Ups, Ridiculous Six, Don't Mess with a Zohan, that's good night. That is it. It is a red card, immediate ejection, and then the ref just keeps throwing handfuls of red cards out. It cannot be enough red cards. It's done. It's over.
All right. And, well, speaking of the Ridiculous Six, Steve and I have both watched the movie.
Oh!
And we are going to do this Netflix review. But honestly, guys, for the last month, every single time we make plans to do it, one of us legitimately gets sick or has something come up. Or maybe one of us makes something up so we don't have to talk about it.
Let me just give you, if this little number one here was not enough of a snippet, I start to physically hurt when we begin discussing the movie. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, let's go to my number one. I'm going to say this delicately because it borderlines on getting political. One of the biggest red flags for me, say I'm talking to somebody, again, at a party, at a bar, at a social event, and they say, you know, I only watch Fox News. That's my news source. Implying that they don't watch anything else. And that's where they get all their facts. Not to get political, but that sends up a red flag for me that I cannot discuss anything of import with them. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about the food we're eating. We can talk about that crisp glass of Coca-Cola that they have in their hand. We can admire the pets and the grass and the children playing. But if we talk about anything even remotely related to issues today, we are not going to agree. Now, with that being said, I am more than happy to sit down and have a very civil discussion about hot button topics. But so rarely are people, and I'm not saying this as a mass generalization, in my experience, so rarely have I met somebody who has opposing views to mine. Are they willing to do the same thing?
Sure.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Yes.
And also, to go with that, I think not just Fox News, but I feel like when someone says, I get all of something from this,
mm-hmm.
this one source, whatever source that may be, it's like, You would do yourself a service to diversify that knowledge portfolio, friend. So whether I get it all from a right-wing place, a left-wing place, a video game site that hates RPGs, or one that is, you know, backed by, you know, Call of Duty money, you know, whatever. Like, I only go, I get all my reviews from this place. I get all, it's like, okay, well, I feel like you're kind of missing a portion of your pie, friend.
Sure, of course.
Which is important to have.
Yes, it's not, the world isn't one-dimensional.
Right.
The world isn't two-dimensional. There's a whole bunch of sides to things besides yours. And if you're, my big thing is, if you're not able to have a civil discussion, intelligent discussion about it, and at the end, if we don't agree, if we can't just shake hands and be like, hey man, we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this. If we can't do that, then I feel like I'm losing the point here. But do you get what I'm saying?
And unfortunately, I agree with you on this, that I feel like, specifically going to your number one, that someone that says, I get all of my news, like I only watch Fox News, that is A, cool, you shouldn't get all of your stuff from any one spot anyway, and in my opinion, especially not from that source. I just happen to find myself disagreeing with the way Fox News in particular goes about their business and the message that they deliver and the way they deliver it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and also their main demographic, I find I disagree with many of the things they believe, mm-hmm, and the way they go about it as well.
Sure. So, I think we've been walking on eggshells enough.
Yeah, yeah. It's always, you know, it's an election year, so it's obviously on our minds, obviously. Mm. So we try not to get too political, but it's honest. We're going to be honest with you. And if we're at a party and dude he's got his blue shirt and his red tie with white stripes, I was like, yes, I get all of my news from Fox News. Like, fantastic. I'm going to be in the living room. Great. Bye-bye.
So that's my number one with a bullet.
Cool. My number five in review here. Number five, I went with pick your poison here. Bachelor, bachelorette, whichever one you want. Number four, God, sweet mercy of God, Prometheus. Number three, I only listen to vinyl, or I only watch VHS. Number two, The Real Housewives of wherever. I don't care.
Boise, Idaho.
Boise, Idaho. And number one, Adam Sandler, specifically modern Adam Sandler. No excuse.
My number five is blanket statements or mass generalizations based on just the most minimal of information. My number four is, I just didn't get Arrested Development. My number three is, you know, I really love Step Brothers and all of his stupid movies, but I didn't really like, you know, like Stranger Than Fiction, that one movie where he's in a lawn chair on the lawn. Like, it's stupid. My number two is people who incessantly quote Adam Sandler, the old Adam Sandler movies, or just movies in general. Like, hey, come up with your own lines, all right? Don't quote everything. My number one is, I only watch Fox News. See ya!
Bye-bye! So guys, I know you've got some red flags, and I'm sure we've probably thrown some red flags up at you at some point.
That's right. If you're still listening, well, I commend you, sir. Or madam.
Good on ya. Good on ya. Mm-hmm. So we want to know, when you hear some guy, some girl, someone at a party say, I just can't get enough of blank, that you immediately say, no. Mm-hmm. So we want to know what you guys have to say. So, of course, you can – what's the best way to get us here, Wes?
Well, you can call us at 555. No, you can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at 5playnet@gmail.com.
Facebook, Twitter. So, I mean, as soon as the election is done, we'll get our presidential Facebook up.
Sure.
We plan on winning on a joint ticket here, so.
That's right. I plan on being Steve's Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, Ken, because I'm going to nuke everybody. Everybody.
But guys, thank you so much for listening. We got some exciting things coming up for you, including, but not limited to, the Ridiculous 6 Netflix review.
Ooh. Thank you guys very much for listening. As always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was 5.
And we're out.